Hello, everybody, and greetings in the lovely name above every name. I hope every one of you are doing wonderful today. I wanted to take a couple of minutes and talk to you about the annual Feast of Tabernacles that the House of Israel is currently involved in at this moment. And we want everyone that's listening, if you would, do us a favor and hit that share button so that other people can join this phone call and they can hear this glorious truth that the church knows so little about. And then what I want you to do, if you're listening right now, I want to hear from you. I want to know that what part of the world you're in. So would you comment and say what city and state, what country you're listening to us from, so that we can rejoice and know that this message is getting out to the world. Well, just a few days ago, my wife and I checked into a beautiful hotel on the eastern seaboard of the United States of America. And the reason we checked in that hotel, believe it or not, it is commanded by God. Now, when I say the word Yahweh, you say God, and you'll know who I'm talking about, our Heavenly Father. So don't be distracted if you don't understand the word Yahweh. That is God's name, the God that you worship. Amen. Well, we checked in the hotel room because we have a command from God that the House of Israel, which you and I are part of, are supposed to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In the Hebrew tongue, it's called Sukkot. We're supposed to keep the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days every single year. Now, the church says that we don't have to do that. The Bible says otherwise. You have to make up your mind who you're going to follow, your preacher or your Bible. But anyway, with that said, we checked in the hotel for a reason. Because we are told in the Word of God that for 7 days every year, that we are to live in temporary dwellings. Now, some folks, they'll get in a tent, but me and my wife are not really tent people. We are hotel people. So, long story short, we got in this resort and we are spending these 7 days in constant reminder of the meaning behind the ritual. Now, I want to say this to you. Life has rituals for a meaning. God uses rituals to impress upon us a deeper spiritual truth. For example, look at your finger right now, every one of you that are married. You've probably got a ring on that finger. Every day when you wear that ring, that is a ritual. When you take it off or put it on or whatever the case is, at your wedding, that was a ritual. Now, that ring means absolutely nothing if it does not symbolize a deeper reality, which is your eternal love for your spouse. Some of you are wearing a ring, and that's a dead ring. It means nothing because you don't love your spouse. So, you know, no need in wearing the ring. Now, so the argument is made by some, well, that's just an old Jewish ritual keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. First of all, may I please correct you? There is nothing Jewish about the commandments of God. They pre-existed the Jews. Abraham was not a Jew. 450 years before a Jew ever existed, God told Abraham, because you have kept my commandments and all of my statutes, I'm going to bless you. The commandments of God, the laws of God, the principles of God are older than any law ever written down, and they will outlast every written law. The principles contained within the Feast of Tabernacles is one of the most glorious truths that you will ever experience in your life. Now, Satan, the enemy of Yahweh, the adversary of Yahweh, the high archangel that still governs our earth, is very well aware of the meanings behind these rituals that we keep. Now, for those of you that don't believe in rituals, then you need to quit baptizing folks, because that's a ritual. That ritual will do nothing for you unless it is impressing upon you a deeper spiritual reality of death, burial, and resurrection. Now, when we keep the Feast of Tabernacles and we dwell in temporary dwellings, that is to impress upon you and I the temporary bodies that we are living in. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is about this temporary body that you're living in. Every single one of you are not qualified to inherit the kingdom of God. Did you know that? Every person that's listening to this right now, please hit the share button. I beg you, share this teaching. Let's get this truth out to those that are hungry for truth. Now, everybody listening to me right now, I want you to do me a quick favor. I don't care if you're driving. I don't care if you're sitting at your house or if you're on your job. Would you reach over and just pinch yourself? You don't have to hurt yourself, but I want you to pinch yourself real quick. All right. Now, did you feel that pinch? Did that pinch hurt? Okay, that means that you are still flesh and blood. That means you are not qualified to inherit the kingdom of God. Did you know that? Yeah, that's right. The Apostle Paul told you in the Word of God that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, our inheritance is the kingdom of God, which will be established on this earth during the millennium reign. That is the promised land. That is what you and I are striving for, to be counted worthy of that first resurrection, that we might be in the kingdom of God on the earth. Now, as long as you are flesh and blood, you will never, ever, I want you to hear me, you will never inherit the kingdom of God. As long as you need oxygen to exist, as long as your blue blood needs oxygen to turn red and to keep you in existence, then you are flesh and blood. You're not qualified for the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is a kingdom that's eternal. And the only way that you can inherit that kingdom is to have an eternal body. The only way you can govern in that kingdom is to have an eternal body. The Feast of Tabernacles impresses upon our collective memories the truth of the Word of God, that we shall have a new body and we shall have a new life. Brothers and sisters, hear me well. You must get a new body if you're going to inherit the kingdom of God. You must be born again in the resurrection. That is when you will be born again. You were born the first time through the womb. You will be born the second time through the tomb. It is imperative that you understand that. Please share this video, comment, tell me where you're listening from, and help me get this truth out to the nations of the world. Now let's talk about this new body. When Yahshua was resurrected, or whenever he went into the grave, just like Lazarus did, a flesh and blood body. Now, whenever he was resurrected, he still had a flesh and blood body. He did not receive his eternal inheritance upon his resurrection. You see, there must be more than a resurrection. There must be a change of bodies. Now, we know this because when Yahshua was resurrected, he told those around him not to touch him because he had not yet been presented to his Father as the spotless Lamb of God. Now, we know that he was presented to his Father 8 days later. Why 8 days later? Well, that's the day that all newborn sons are circumcised, on the eighth day. 7 days he had touched the dead in the grave. He was unclean, and he had to wait until that time to be presented to his Father to obey the law. Now, we also know this because if you will read, whenever he appeared to the disciples, including Thomas, the Bible said it was the eighth day after his resurrection. They were sitting in a room, and all of a sudden, Yeshua, the door is sealed shut. They're hiding. They're afraid. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, appears this body of Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Now, why did this happen on the eighth day? Because it was on the eighth day, the day of new beginnings. Remember, eight is the number of what? New beginnings. It was on this eighth day that Yeshua receives his new body. And brothers and sisters, it was at that moment where he was able to pass through that wall unhindered, because in the new body, you and I will travel at the speed of thought. Now let's see what Paul says over in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm not going to read it because I'm not able to get to a Bible right now, but I'm going to quote it and then you can verify it in your Bible. Paul spends several chapters leading up to the subject of the new body. He starts off with this treatise three chapters earlier when he speaks about that which is perfect. He talks about there was coming a perfection, and he said that until we get that perfection, we would see through a glass darkly, which is our eyes, the natural eyes. He talks about that there would come a time when prophecy would cease, when tongues would cease. We would no longer need any of that. And when that which is perfect is come. Now, two chapters later, he tells you what he was talking about. He was speaking about the body of perfection that is coming to every born-again child of God. Please share this teaching right now. If you're listening, share, do your part, comment, tell me where you're listening from so that we can get this message to the world. Now, the new body, Paul says that it will go down in the ground as a natural body. Now, this is imperative that you understand this. It goes in the ground, a natural body. Now, the body that will be resurrected in the first resurrection, not the second resurrection. The second resurrection, there will not be a body change, and I'll explain that later. I don't have time in this teaching, but you need to watch my video called The Two Resurrections. It's on our YouTube channel. If you've not subscribed, you need to do that. Over 500 teaching videos are waiting there for you. Just type in First Harvest Ministries on YouTube and subscribe. Paul said this body is going in the ground, a natural body, just like Yeshua's body went into the ground, a natural body. But he said when it comes up at the sound of the shofar on the seventh day, at the seventh trumpet, there would be a sounding of the shofar. That's what the word trump of God means. They're speaking of a shofar. That's why we blow them in our congregations. He said there would be a shofar, and that frequency from that shofar, remember, everything on our planet operates by vibration and frequency. Now, that frequency would reconstruct in the grave or in the ocean, wherever your body is hiding, wherever it has disintegrated over the years. Your body was created the first time by an amazing scientific discovery called DNA. Now, when you die, your DNA does not die. This is imperative that you understand this. Your first body was created from a computer code, and I call it a computer code so you'll understand it. It's much deeper than that. But scientists have said that this code is so specific that it's as if someone literally typed a code for your life, your hair color. Everything is in that code. There is a code that gave you your first life. That is what created your first body. Whenever you go in the grave, that code does not die. That is how years later crimes are now being solved after the people have died, because the DNA is still alive. It never dies. Now, all this has to do with the Feast of Tabernacles, the new body. And I'm trying to explain to you what that new body is going to be like and why we are celebrating that new body for these 7 days, the millennium reign of Yeshua that comes on the seventh day or the 7,000th year. So when that shofar sounds, there will be a reactivating of that DNA that's in existence somewhere. I don't care if they burn you up in a crematory. I don't care if you died in the ocean. I don't care if you're buried under a vault. Your DNA is very much alive. And this frequency of this shofar is going to cause the same DNA that created your first body to recreate the second body. But if you have earned a right to the first resurrection, that DNA is encoded by powerful design from God Himself to create the second body without a need for blood or oxygen. The second body, the theophany that is waiting on you, brothers and sisters, is a body that will look like a flesh and blood body, just like Yeshua's body looked like a flesh and blood body, but it will have no limitations of the natural realm. It will manifest as natural, but it will be made up of spirit. That will be the structure of your new body. That body will be needed to live eternally. That body is the same body that the angels have. They were created, and this is imperative that you understand this, beloved. The angels of God, the sons of God, the first Elohim, was created with eternal bodies that cannot die. And that's the reason hell was created for them. They are eternal. You are not eternal. If you don't understand what I'm teaching right now, please watch my video on what happens to the dead on our YouTube channel. This is so important. You are not eternal. No, you do not have a never-dying soul. That is the creation of Catholicism. That is the creation of Plato and Socrates and Greek philosophy. That is not from the Hebrew Bible. You are not eternal. You cannot be. You will not have eternal consciousness. You are not eternal. The Bible says you are like the animals and that your death is no different than their death. Your mind goes back to God, which is your spirit. That's where your memories are recorded. That's where your life is recorded. That's where every idle word is recorded in your mind. That mind will go back to God for safekeeping until the resurrection. And at the point of the resurrection, that mind will return to that body with all of your memories intact, all of your life choices intact. And oh, that moment when you were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and forgiven for all of those horrible things that you've done in your past. This is the moment when you get your new body. This is the moment when the body that comes up can never die. This is the moment when you will enter into the government of Yeshua, because the government of Yeshua will be made up of the eternal sons of God. David will be resurrected right along with you. Daniel will be resurrected right along with you if you obtain that first resurrection. Now, if you believe the lies of the church and think you can be saved and live any kind of way you want to, and you don't have to obey the law of God, and the law's been done away with, then you won't make that first resurrection anyway. You'll come up in the second where the just and the unjust come up together, and you'll but there's a group of people. Paul said that even he didn't count himself as to have apprehended that first resurrection. But you and I are striving to enter into that first resurrection. Why? Because it is there when we come up with the new body. The Feast of Tabernacles is reminding us every year to watch and to work that we might be counted worthy to enter into that first resurrection. As we keep the Feast of Tabernacles, angels. We are celebrating the new body that's coming to every believer that's working. The Bible said watching and waiting for that glorious appearing of our Lord when He will call us up from the grave. And in that new body, we will govern with Him the nations of the world for 1,000 years until we destroy every enemy of Yahweh and until we put Satan and the dominions of darkness and the Nephilim and all of those evil spirits under our feet. And we, at the end of that glorious kingdom age, together with our elder brother, Yahshua, will turn the kingdom and the restored planet back to the Creator Yahweh. And it is there that eternity begins in our new bodies. And brothers and sisters, this is what we are celebrating this week. We choose to celebrate truth rather than pagan lies. We choose to celebrate a story that has 7 chapters to it. And those 7 chapters are called the 7 holy days. Every holy day tells another part of this unfolding saga. And you are part of that. You have been called to celebrate the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so sad that our brothers and sisters in the Christian church want nothing to do with it. They would rather worship Saint Nicholas, and they would rather gather around a Christmas tree and cut a tree in the field and bring it in their house and decorate it with gold and silver and then bow down before that tree and put gifts under it. Oh, they would rather celebrate rabbits that lay eggs. They would rather celebrate lies. Oh, and the inheritance of lies. But I'm so thankful that I left that zombie army. I'm so thankful that I saw the light of the truth of these glorious holy days. And I understood that Satan doesn't want me to celebrate them. He doesn't want you to celebrate them, because every time we celebrate truth, it exposes his lies. We are called to shine the light of truth, to be a city set on a hill, to be the light of the world. You can't be the light of the world partaking of the lies of this world. You must come out from among them and be a separated people, saith the Lord. You must come out from their celebrations, from their mindsets, from their ways of thinking. And during the Feast of Tabernacles, the holy house of Israel, we come together to celebrate this truth. If you're listening to me today and you don't understand these festivals, we have a free book that we would like to offer you right now. You can download it free of charge. It's called Trading Santa for the Sukkah. If you want that book, inbox me on Facebook. I'll send it to you right now so that you can start studying and keeping with us these holy days. I want to give a warning to all of my brothers and sisters stuck in Babylon. There is a call going forth, and you're not going to be able to stop it. My preacher friends, I'm telling you, there's an eye opening that's happening all over the world to the believers of God, and you are not going to be able to ignore the questions that are going to begin coming from God's people that are stuck in these churches. Listen to me. Wake up while we can. Celebrate with us the truth. Come on, cut down your trees out of your house and put up a sukkah. Celebrate the coming millennium. Oh, because Satan's days are numbered, and the saints of God will judge the earth. We will rule and reign over the earth. And this is what we are celebrating. Listen, if you've enjoyed this little lesson, please do your part. Don't be a taker, be a giver. And hit that share button. That's how you can give. You know, we never ask for a penny from anybody. All we ask you to do is to hit that share button and to comment where you're watching so that we can get the message out to the world. I love you today, and to every one of you, happy Feast of Tabernacles. May these 7 glorious glorious days, return your mind to the truth that our God is in control, that everything is right on schedule, and that we are coming now to the end of the story of the millennium reign. Now listen, after the Feast of Tabernacles, there is one more feast that even the Hebrew roots folks have forgotten about. Oh, and it's called the Feast of the Last Great Day. That's the last feast that happens on the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, I'll come back and teach you about that feast. It is, to me, it's the most amazing mystery in the Word of God that has been unfolded to the house of Israel. And it is in that feast that so many questions that you have are answered. Now, we'll celebrate that feast very soon. If you want to know more about it, you can go to the YouTube channel for First Harvest Ministries and type in Last Great Day by Shane Vaughn, and you can watch that teaching. But anyway, we love you. Share this, folks, and let's get the truth out. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. Have a great day.